Well, if you have been with us over the last 3 weeks, you know that we've kind of been rethinking Christmas. We've been walking through a challenging series titled Advent Conspiracy. And as I've mentioned before, it's an idea that started with four pastors in four churches way back in 2006, a whole 8 years ago. But now thousands of churches worldwide are participating in this thing called Advent Conspiracy. And this Advent Conspiracy is really all about rethinking how we do Christmas. This Advent Conspiracy really challenges us to think about doing four things at Christmas. Worship fully, spend less, give more, and love all. If you were here with us 2 weeks ago, I talked about the first one. I talked about worship fully. And I shared the fact that we won't be people who do the last three if we aren't learning to worship fully, because it starts with worship. And then last week, we combined the next two together, and we talked about spending less and giving more. And I really challenged us to rethink how we spend money on Christmas. Instead of just throwing money at gifts, to think about what and how we give to others this Christmas season. I also talked about the fact that Jesus didn't give presents at Christmas. He gave His presence. He gave Himself, right? It was personal. It was relational. I also challenged us to think about giving more like Christ did this year as we go into Christmas. And the key is the heart in which He gave, right? His giving was motivated by what? It was motivated by love. He gave because of His love for each and every one of us. He gave because of His love for all. Now, that's what we're talking about today. This concept of loving all. Now, this word love, it's such an interesting word. And every time I have to talk about love, it's like I've got to think of new ways, you know. But the reality is, it's such a difficult word because it's one of those words that means so many things to so many different people, right? Because we can say things like, you know, I love chocolate, right? You know? And then, of course, you have those people over here like myself that say, I love my ducks, right? And Marcus Mariota, right? You know? But then we say things like, I'd love it if you just be quiet, right? You know? Or we say, you know, I love you, right? And we use this word in so many different ways. It's so overused and abused that many of us have no idea what that word love really means anymore, right? Well, I've got the answer for you. I got it on the internet, okay? I found this post titled, Love from a Kid's Point of View. Because kids, they should know what love is, right? So these are kids ages 5 to 8. Let me just read these to you. Love is when a girl puts on perfume and a boy puts on shaving cologne and they go out and smell each other. That was Carl, age 5, right? 5-year-old, that's his idea of love. How about this one? Love is when you go out to eat and give somebody most of your French fries without making them give you any of theirs. That's Chrissy, age 6. Love is what makes you smile when you're tired. Terry, age 4, that's sweet. Love is when my mommy makes coffee for my daddy and she takes a sip before giving it to him to make sure that it tastes okay. That's Danny, age 7. Love, this is one of my favorite ones. Love is what's in the room with you at Christmas if you stop opening presents and just listen. Bobby, age 7. That's pretty, you know, pretty wise little 7-year-old there, huh? Love is when you tell a guy you like his shirt and then he wears it every day. That's Noel, age 7. Love is when mommy gives daddy the best piece of chicken. That's Elaine, age 5. Love is when mommy sees daddy smelly and sweaty and still says he's more handsome than Brad Pitt. Chris, age 7. Love is when your puppy licks your face even after you left him alone all day. Marianne, age 4. Love is when my older sister gives me all her old clothes and has to go out and buy new ones. Lauren, age 4. Her sister's got her taught there, right? Here, sis, I love you. Mom, I need more clothes, right? A couple more here. Love is when mommy sees daddy on the toilet and she doesn't think it's gross. Mark, age 6. So I don't think I guess my wife doesn't really love me then. But here's I think the best one. When my grandmother got arthritis, she couldn't bend over and paint her toenails anymore. I'm gonna cry with this one. So my grandfather does it for her all the time, even when his hands got arthritis too. That's love, Rebecca, age 8. That might be the best answer right there from these kids. But here's the thing. We all have our own definition of what love is. If we asked you, we would each say different things. But I don't believe we'll ever understand true love until we've experienced the love of Jesus in our life. And Christmas is all about Jesus' love for all, for every one of us. You see, the fact is we all of us need a Savior. We're all broken and needy. As a matter of fact, that's really the theology of Christmas. If you want to know the theology of Christmas in a nutshell, I'm going to give it to you right here. The theology of Christmas is this: God came for the broken and the needy. That's what Christmas is about. God came for the broken and needy. And guess what? That's us. That's you. That's me. We're the broken and the needy. He came for the poor of heart. He came for the broken. 2 Corinthians 8:9. Let me read it to you this morning. It says this: "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich," right? I mean, beyond rich, all the glories in heaven, it says, "yet for your sake he became poor, so that through his poverty we might become rich." Now I want to say this. This doesn't mean that if you come to Jesus, you're guaranteed wealth and riches. It's not that kind of rich. No, this scripture, what it's about, it's about God's love and grace for each and every one of us. His love and grace for all. You see, Jesus, as we mentioned before, left the glories and riches of this amazing place called heaven. And he came into a sin-scarred world. Why? So that you and I, who are broken and needy, could enjoy the riches of a relationship with the Father. You see, again, we are the broken and the needy. The broken and needy is anyone that's in need of God. And we know all of us, everyone in this world is in need of God. The good news of Christmas is that Jesus came for all. Jesus loved all. And because of his love for all, Christmas changed the world. It changed the world forever. It brought hope to the broken and the needy. And so the question is, if Christmas changed the world back then, some 2,000 years ago, can Christmas still change the world today? I hope you're nodding your head, right? Of course. Because we live in a fallen world, no different than back then. And guess what? Jesus is still the answer. He is still the answer. Jesus is still the hope for all humanity. Same as He was back then, the same as it is today. The gift that was given some 2,000 years ago is still being offered to anyone who will receive it, right? The Lord freely gives to anyone who will receive. But here's the thing. At Christmas time, we talk about Emmanuel, right? Emmanuel. We sing that song, Emmanuel, right? And we know, or most of us know, what the word means. Emmanuel means God with us. God with us. He came to earth and He walked among us. He was with us, right? And that's an amazing thing. But here's the thing. If you jump into Acts, what happens? Jesus ascends back up to the Father, right? He goes back to be with the Lord. So does this mean that He is no longer Emmanuel? He's no longer with us? Does that mean that that gift that was given is no longer available? The answer is no. Because when He left, He actually gave us something better. He gave us the Holy Spirit. And it's better because He's no longer just with us or among us, right? Because when someone's like with you, when Jesus was here with the disciples, there were times where He went on the other side, right, of the sea, and they're over here. And so it's like, well, Jesus is with us, but He's way over there, right? But see, now, no longer is He just with us. Now He's given us the Holy Spirit who actually lives in us. Lives in us. We can't get away from Him, right? He's there. Jesus has given us the Holy Spirit, and now that He lives in us, has given us the responsibility to love in the way that He loved. It's our turn now to partner with God and begin to live out this thing called love to all. We all know the Christmas story. I think most of us have heard it at some time in our life. We all know the Christmas story, and if we understand it at all, we realize how truly amazing this story is. How amazing God's love is for all of us. But here's the thing. It's not enough for us to just keep telling the story. Especially just at Christmas time. You see, we have to do more than just tell the story. The reality is we need to be living the story out. We need to be loving all right now the way Christ did back then. That's what we're called to do as followers of Christ. Right? You see, we live in a world that's tired of hearing the talk. Christians have talked for a long time, right? We live in a world now, young people today, they see right through the talk. We live in a world where people are tired of hearing the talk. They want to see people who are actually going to walk the walk. You see, we must be walking out the story of Christmas in our everyday lives. If we go back to the theology of Christmas, it's about what? It's about loving the broken and the needy. It's caring for those in need. That's what we as a church, I'm grateful. That's what we've been doing. That's what Adopt a Family is about. That's what the people I ran into, if you remember my story last week of running into at Walmart and different places. And as a church, we adopted them and took care of them and brought things to them. It's caring for the broken and the needy. Proverbs 14:31 says this, "He who oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker." Who's their maker? God, right? We show contempt for God. But then it says, "But whoever is kind to the needy honors God." When we love and care for those in need, the Scriptures tell us, it's just as if we're doing it for Jesus Himself. When we do this, it honors God. Matthew 25:40 says this, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. We've heard that scripture before. Whatever you do for those in need, for those that are hurting, for those that are broken, for those that most others just walk by and pretend like they don't see, whatever you do for them, he says, you're doing it for me. You're caring for me. You see, the fact is, Jesus knows what it's like to be poor. Like what? He's the King. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. What do you mean? He knows what it's like to be poor. He was not born into the Bill Gates or the Phil Knight family. He wasn't. He was born to Joseph and Mary. Simple people. And we can actually tell, we can tell through Scripture that they weren't rich, that they weren't wealthy. You see, in Luke, when they come to present Jesus in the temple after he's been born, it says this. It says that they sacrificed a pair of doves. And we can tell a lot about from this. Because the custom when the firstborn was consecrated was to sacrifice a lamb. You were supposed to sacrifice a lamb unless you were poor. If you were poor and you couldn't afford a lamb, then you could sacrifice doves or pigeons. Mary and Joseph, they sacrificed. They weren't rich. Mary and Joseph were poor. The scene in the manger displays this. You know, we always this, and I have a different theology on this maybe, but we, you know this thing, oh, there's no room for them in the inn. I guarantee you if they had money, they would have found a place for them in the inn. They were poor. There was no room for, no one was going to just take poor people in for nothing. They were poor. The manger displays this, but Jesus, he chose to give up the riches and glories, right, of heaven, to enter humanity and to enter amongst the poor and the needy. Why would he do that? Why would the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, why would he enter in this way? Because that's who he came for, right? He came for the poor and the needy. Because of Jesus, Christmas changed the world, and he's calling us now to do the same. Jesus calls us to be world changers. The question is, how do we change the world? And I think it starts by opening our eyes. It starts by being willing to notice the needy and broken people that are all around us. Sometimes we just don't open our eyes. We're oblivious to what's going on around us. You know, we're about to do our fourth Community Connect in this area for homeless people and those in need. Churches in the community coming together. It's interesting because when they first started, as they were doing this, they came to the city, and I don't know who they talked to, but they wanted to find out about the homeless situation in Dallas. Oh, we don't have a homeless situation in Dallas. What? Their eyes, they were oblivious. Oh, no, we don't. Now, you may not see them on the streets, right? We may not be like, you know, in big cities where they're out in the streets. But there's a homeless problem here in Dallas. And it's those kind of things that we have to open our eyes and to realize that there's so much going on around us that we miss out. We have to open our eyes and we have to be willing to notice the needy and broken. You know, it's time for us to get out of our bubbles. It's time for us to get outside the walls of the church. And I'm not saying this completely about us because I think we as a church have been doing a great job of these kind of things. But as a whole, we have to start being the church. We have to start living Christmas out on a daily basis. And the fact is, it's a big task. And with a task like this, sometimes it can be extremely overwhelming. And a lot of times people, oh, it's too big for me, I just can't do it. And that's why we don't move forward. But I like what Mother Teresa said. She said this. She said, if I look at the mass, I'll never act. Right? Oh, I can't do that. And so we get overwhelmed and we stop. But she says, but if I look at the one, I will. I will act. We have to start looking for the one, right? Start looking for those opportunities that the Lord puts before us. I love how Andy Stanley puts it. Andy Stanley says this. He says, do for one what you wish you could do for all. Right? We can't go and help every single person in the world, but we can help this one person, right, that crossed our path. We have to look for that one. And I think it's important that we realize this doesn't have to be complicated, because a lot of people, I don't have this, I don't have that, I can't do this, I can't do that. We make up these excuses, but it doesn't have to be complicated. Matthew 25, 35 through 36 says this, for I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. When you look at this scripture, you realize these are simple, practical things. Giving someone something to eat, giving someone something to drink, right? Clothing someone, visiting them, helping them when they're sick. I think so often we get held back because the idea of truly making a difference seems to be such a daunting task, right? But here's the thing. God isn't asking you to change the world. He'll do that. You know what God's asking you to do? He's asking you to change you. You change you. And when you begin to change you, I'll begin to change the world through you. It starts with us, and it can happen in very practical ways. And the exciting thing is that if we as Christians were to really, truly start living this way, it will change the world. Us coming together as a church, giving money for adoptive family, us as a small little church in this community, believing and giving and trusting in the Lord, sending $6,000 to Alaska, sending $2,000 for the Homeless Connect, sending $500 for foster care party, $2,000 raised for adopt a family. One person didn't do that. It's everybody. It's the church coming together. If we continue to come together, continue to do what God's called us to do, it will change the world because we're doing and being what God has called us to do and be. And so I encourage you this Christmas to rethink Christmas, to really think about the true meaning of Christmas, to think about the call that we have on each of our lives to continue to live out that meaning, right? To pray and to seek the Lord and ask Him to show you who are those people that He's calling you to love? Who are those people that He's putting in your path? And He's saying, just simply love them. Love all with the love of Christ in a way that ultimately may change their life. You see, the key to this, it's obedience, right? The key is that we're listening for His voice and that we respond when we hear it. Or that we respond when He places those opportunities in front of us. I'm afraid to know how many opportunities I've missed throughout my days where God's put someone in front of me, but I was too busy, too focused, and missed out on that opportunity. The thing is, it can be so simple. It can be as simple as giving someone something to drink. Some of you have heard me share how when I was in Newburgh in the youth ministry, I used to take a group of high school and college age kids down to the Dream Center in LA. The Dream Center is just this amazing ministry. I don't have time to go into all of it, but this is an amazing ministry that it's this old St. Angel's Hospital that they have taken over and started renovating one by one. But out of that, over 260, I don't know, maybe even more now, over 250 ministries are going out each day serving Los Angeles, giving food to the hungry, all sorts of things, just caring for people. And they allow teams to come, and that's how they work. Teams come and serve through them, and each day they're going out and doing these amazing things. So spring break, we would take a group of kids and we'd go down there. My first year there, the first thing they asked me, we got this great thing. This is one of our favorite things. We're going to have you go out and do random acts of kindness. And I'm like, okay, what is that? And they say, hey, we got some lemonade here and some cups and stuff, and we're going to send you out on this street corner. They gave us where to go, and we're going to have you set up, and we're just going to have you hand out lemonade. I'm thinking, you're going to have us do what? I mean, I don't know about you. I'm sitting here going, okay, if I'm walking down, you know, the streets here in Oregon or Portland or wherever, and someone's like, hey, would you like some lemonade? I'd be like, what's in the Kool-Aid, right? You know, what's this Kool-Aid you're asking me to drink? I'm like, who is going to take this? But it was amazing. We go down there, we make the lemonade, we start, hey, would you like, oh, thank you, I'm so thirsty. I'm like, oh my goodness. Well, in the midst of that time, it was me and two of my, one was one of my youth staff, a college age kid, and one of my youth. And I walked up to this one guy, and we're like, hey, sir, would you like a glass of lemonade? And he said, oh man, I'm not feeling good. I just had this horrible situation. I said, well, what's going on, man? Is there something we can do for you? And he began to just pour out his story of what had happened to him and what he had gone through. And by the end, as he's sharing this, I'm like, well, would you like something to eat? He's like, no, maybe I will take that lemonade now. And we just started talking. And he talked about how he, back in the day, was a Christian, but had fallen from the Lord. And in that moment, he gave his life to the Lord, and we exchanged our phone numbers. His name was Mateo, and I connected with him for over 3 years after I left, praying with him on the phone. He'd call, oh, Darren, I'm trying to get this work. I can't whatever. And I said, well, let's pray. A few times I sent money for him to get a work belt. I bought a work belt at Home Depot that he needed for this job, to do this job site, doing things just to love on him and take care of him. Even one time we went down, he was in the San Diego area, and when we went down there for my wife's family at Christmas, I went and took him and his girlfriend and his son out for lunch. Had this great relationship that impacted this guy's life. And how did it start? By offering him a glass of lemonade, right? And many of you know the story of my buddy Al. You've heard the testimony of his life that was changed. How did I meet Al? Hey, sir, do you want to come and have some food that we're offering down here at the Cannon in Santa Monica? And out of those things came these relationships that impacted lives. You see, the simple things we do in the act of love can change lives, and we never know how we're going to change a life by opening our eyes and reaching out and caring for those around us by loving all. And so my encouragement as we close this morning is, let's be challenged to open our eyes and walk out Christmas, not just in December, but walk out Christmas every day as we do what God has called us to do and what Christmas was all about. Loving all. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, what a great day today, Lord, getting to hear the kids sing. Lord, great seeing the family up here and share about peace, Lord. Just awesome time of worship, Lord. And Lord, a challenging word. And I just pray, Lord, that you would allow this word to just to penetrate our hearts, to challenge us, Lord, to not just tell the Christmas story once a year at Christmas, but that we would be people who live out that Christmas story each and every day, being the people who you've called us to be, learning to love all, learning to let your love shine through us in a way that truly does change the world around us, Lord. It starts with us. Us being willing to allow you to change us, Lord. May we be the change that you desire. And may that change impact those around us, Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you for this word. We thank you for your hand upon our life. Be with us as we go from here, as we head out this week even, Lord. Later, some of us will come back for the Christmas service. But for those that aren't, Lord, as they head out of here to different places to celebrate Christmas with friends and family, I pray that in the midst of those times, that the first thing they do is seek to love all, Lord. To love their family, to love those that they see, even on their way to their family. To not allow the busyness of last-minute shopping to miss that person in the grocery store that we could speak words of encouragement to miss that person on the side of the street that we could just show love to by offering something to eat or whatever it may be, Lord. Open our eyes to see in the way that you see, Lord. Open our eyes to love all. And to see your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.